close your eyes and you bow your head. Sorry, my mic went up there. I can see and I hear from many of those people that that is really a good way for them because it helps them focus their mind. I don't really pray that way. I sort of sit down and I don't close my eyes and I talk as if I were talking to one of my friends. That's just me. Some people don't pray in words at all. Some people will send God a picture in their mind. Some people will think about who they really want to pray for and send that up to heaven. Other people will pray with groans and different kind of tongues. But it's all ways of communicating with God and it's all ways of praying. But of course, communication is not just one-sided, is it? It's not us merely taking things to God, although that's vitally important, but it's God responding to us. And I think God responds to us in a lot of different ways. Maybe your prayer life is different, but in mine, God doesn't often speak to me quite in the way that he speaks to Abraham. And I'm going to call him Abraham rather than Abraham because I always forget when it changes, so do bear with me. But nonetheless, God does speak to us. And some people carve out time specifically to listen to God. I know people who will put some Christian music on and just use that time to wait on God and to listen to what he has for them. Other people prefer just to sit in the quiet. You might find that God talks to you through the Bible, and that's part of your prayer time. Or that you simply feel that God is putting something on your conscience or in your heart, and that is how God speaks to you. So how did God speak to Abraham? How did they communicate? Well, the first example I could find was in chapter 12, where God suddenly says to Abraham, or it seems so, I will make you a great nation. Now again, God doesn't often speak to me in this way. If he speaks to you like this, see me after the service because I very much want to be your friend. We don't know what precedes this, do we? We don't know if Abraham has, for many years, been speaking to God, been calling out to him. We don't know if God speaks out to Abraham when he's in a time of prayer, when he is seeking God. We don't know if this comes completely out of the blue. God doesn't tell us. The next time I found that God spoke directly to Abraham was in chapter 15. And he says, don't be afraid. I'm your shield and you'll be rewarded. Now this time is a little bit different because we see Abraham speaking back to God. And he says, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're my shield. Doesn't matter if you're protecting me. I'm not bothered. Because what I'm bothered about is I don't have an heir. This servant, Eliezer of Damascus, will be my heir. So what good is it you promising me all of these things? Because I don't have anyone to pass it on to. And we read this and then we think, really? You know, could you not have been a bit more grateful, Abraham? I mean, there is God promising you he's going to look after you. I mean, how about a thank you, you know? And then I think, is he really so different from us? You know when God gives and gives and gives, and we say, yeah, that's great, God, but what about this other thing that I've been asking you for? That hasn't really happened, has it? So, you know. So maybe I should think a little bit more generously about Abraham. Because God is very generous, isn't he? He doesn't respond by rebuking Abraham. He doesn't say, well, fine, I'll find someone else to go and protect and reward. You can just carry on. He says, you'll have an heir. And he speaks to him again in chapter 17. And he says, you will have a son and you will have many descendants. And he names him Abraham because that means the father of many. So God not only doesn't get annoyed with Abraham for coming back to him and saying, that's not enough for me. I want this. He gives him that thing which he asks for. So as I said, it's quite difficult for me to kind of empathize with the way that God and Abraham communicate, because my own prayer life is really rather different. But one of the sections in Genesis that does kind of resonate with me is the one that we read tonight. And again, it does start with God opening up a conversation, doesn't it, with Abraham. But what resonates with me is what it's about. So God is going to bring this disaster. He will punish. He tells Abraham about it, and Abraham prays into it. I think how often are our prayers centered around awful things that are happening that we pray into, that we bring to God? It may be big global things. It may be the war in Syria. It may be famine in Africa. It may be natural disasters such as the tsunami we've recently seen. It may be for our country. It may be for our city. We don't need to look very far to see awful things happening and to see great need. And we are taught to bring them to God. And so I can see the way Abraham's heart is working. He doesn't say, well, God, thanks for letting me know. I'll just avoid Sodom and Gomorrah and I'll be okay. You know, he doesn't say that, does he? Instead, he goes back to God and he says, don't bring this disaster on them. Don't. I want to plead for them. I want to intercede for them. And again, we see Abraham being very bold, don't we? He says, what if we find 50 righteous men? Will you not save them? Will you not save the city for them? And God says, yeah, okay, if I find 50, that'll be fine. And then Abraham goes on, doesn't he? He doesn't say, okay, great, hopefully there'll be 50. He asks more. He says 45. 40, 30, 20, 10. But at no point does God say to him, do you not think you've asked me enough? Do you not think this negotiation is going a bit too far? I've given you for 50, I've given you for 45. This is like some weird biblical auction. You know, have I not given you enough? No, God never says that. He says, yes, if I find that, I'll do what you say. If I find those 10 men who are righteous, I will save the city. And I think that this prayer is so vitally important in how we understand prayer. Because we can't ask anything too big for God. He wants us to come to him in prayer. I don't for a moment believe that God wanted to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe he wanted them to come back to him. But he's just, and so he has to discipline. But he was looking for someone to come to him. He was looking for someone to come to him in prayer. And we see this throughout the Bible. We see it in Ezekiel when he says, I looked for someone who would stand in the gap and come to me and pray to me, but I found no one. We see it in a different way when Jesus arrives at Jerusalem and he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you to me as a chick. Sorry, as a hen gathers her chick under her wings, but you would not come. God's heart is for his people. He wants them to come back to him. He does not want to bring punishment or destruction. And we see that in such a perfect example in Christ, don't we? So when Abraham prays big, God doesn't turn him away because he's praying into God's own heart. He prays what God freely wants to hear. And I think sometimes we might feel that we should pray about smaller things. about things related to ourselves, our friends, our family. And I think that's great. We absolutely should be praying those prayers. But I don't think we always pray big enough. I don't think we always pray in the way God said we should. Because he said, if you ask me, I'll give you the nations. But do we ask for them? Maybe you do. I hope you do. I hope I will. We can't ask God for anything too big. We can't push him too far because he wants to give good things to us. And you could read towards the end of this section of Genesis, couldn't you, and say, well, fat lot of good all of that did, didn't it? Because what happens to Sodom and Gomorrah, they're destroyed anyway. Because there weren't 10. So does that make Abraham's prayer a waste of time? Should he have just not bothered? Do you think he looked back on it and thought, well, next time I'll just tell him to get on with it? No. Because just as reading the passage, we learn something of the heart of God, so did Abraham. He learned that when he takes away his pride, when he makes himself vulnerable before God, God wants to give good things to him. And he also learned that he can't out-ask God. So, in many ways, Abraham's communication with God is very different from mine, and I suspect from yours. But if I could sum up this talk in 2 points, I would say, pray however God guides you. And secondly, don't be afraid of praying big and praying with confidence, because that's what God wants to hear. Amen. Thank you.